I'm going to talk about something that, occupies my heart quite a bit. What's happened in Sioux Falls. But I'm a little hesitant to speak because I'm afraid I'm going to take glory away from the person who deserves it all. What's been happening there is something that if it wouldn't be God at work, it wouldn't be happening. There's somebody who you all don't get the privilege of meeting this evening that's been laboring day and night with me in the work. It's my wife, Natalie. Please remember her in your prayers. She didn't join us this week because there are a couple of ladies she's working with that had some kind of critical things that she needed to be spending some time with them on that today and tomorrow. First, I want to thank everybody that's been praying for the work in Sioux Falls, whether it was before the outreach or after the outreach. The prayers of the saints in the U.S. and Canada and around the world has been one of the driving forces behind it that the Lord's used. And it's been such a great comfort to know that if something happens where we know we need prayers, it's just type and hit send. And that email goes out, and I know there's believers praying that have said they'd be praying. And it's been a great comfort, something we've thoroughly enjoyed, having that resource. So in that way, you all have been laborers with us in the work there. Some things we've learned about the work, nothing new. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly beyond all we ask or think. Before the outreach, I asked the Lord to give us 30 people. Lord, 30 souls saved during the outreach. More than we asked for. Ask him to fill our spare time with Bible studies. Well, had to give up the job. There's still more people that we're not able to reach. More than we could ask for. God answers prayers. You know, how many times have you guys seen that? We send out a request. Pray for Bob Spain. Pray for Bob Gray. Pray for whoever. And within a few days, an answer. The Lord's been at work through his Spirit, guiding and directing people into the truth of his word, convincing sinners of sin, of judgment, of righteousness. And what's one of the things that's been a great joy to see, if many of you read my testimony that was published in Uplook, something that's been part of my life that I've really cherished is the simplicity of God's word and how the truth of God's word, his Spirit, can reveal to anybody. And it's been a joy to see people understand things without having to explain it to them. Things that some people might say, well, you know, it takes special understanding to get that down. Some of the church truths, you know, some of the ladies will come and they'll say, well, why do the women have these things on their head? And Natalie and I are like, well, you know, we've really got bigger things to deal with here. But read 1 Corinthians 11. Next time you see them, I get it. You know, why don't the women partake? Well, we'll get to that, but just read 1 Corinthians 14 and read in Timothy. They come back the next time. I get it. You know, God just simply taking words in the English language, helping them to understand the spiritual truth behind them. It's been great. It's been amazing. And honestly, there's been so many things that the Lord has opened people's eyes to that we haven't been there to explain. Some of you have heard the testimony of David and Alicia Carrick. David, you know, our part in it was sitting down that first time with him and him saying, now, if I understand you right, Larry, this is the way it works. This book, you say, is God's word. And it's the truth. That's what you say. And you say that he's got this spirit that will guide into truth. And you say that he answers prayer. So if I ask him to show me the truth of his word, I don't need you, right? I said, right. Within 2 weeks, he was saved. Just reading. Gave him the Gospel of John. He started reading through that. Came to salvation. Within 2 weeks of that, his wife had seen the change. She was scared stiff. The scariest thing that happened in her life, she said, was that first Sunday, we stepped out of the car, and my husband had a Bible in his hand. She started reading the Word. Within 2 weeks, she was coming to us saying, I want to understand this right. This is all I have to do. I just have to trust in Christ, and I'm saved. And we talked through that real thoroughly. And there's something that was holding her back. Her kids. She didn't want to go to heaven and have her kids go to hell. Her mom, her dad, her sister. What's going to happen to them? And we sat down and looked at a few passages of Scripture about how our Lord is concerned not just with individuals, but he likes to see whole families saved. And a week later, she had another study with Natalie. Natalie explained the gospel to her really clearly and said, Alicia, I do not understand why you won't trust Christ. And Alicia's like, well, I'm just not ready. About 3 minutes after Natalie walked out the door, Alicia was ready. Walked around the house, just, no, I'm not going to trust Christ. I'm not going to trust. You know, she said, by the time I was the second time around my living room, I was down on my knees, realizing there was no other choice but to give my life to Christ because he died on the cross for my sins. Great things that the Lord's been doing there. One other of the great truths that's been made evident is something that has been a desire of mine, a prayer of mine, that the Lord would accomplish through this, is that it would be the body at work. Not just one or two people, not just the believers in one location, but the whole body of Christ at work to see this work be done. And it's been that way. 2 years ago, we were there by ourselves, and we had a number of believers telling us, you know, maybe you should go someplace else. And we thought about it, laid it before the Lord. Each time we laid it before the Lord gave us a direct answer. Just so happens both times were trips up to cities. Went up to, oh boy, my mind's right, Believers Bible Chapel. And the first time, just we were really searching, Lord, what should we do? Went to the Lord, said, Lord, I'm not quite sure what you want me to do. We're going to go someplace this Sunday. Whoever's going to speak is going to have no clue as to the fact we're coming. Please, show us what you would have us to do. And make it clear. I didn't tell my family that I'd made that prayer. We went up there on Sunday morning, met with the believers there. A brother by the name of Kieran Periel was speaking about the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus. Took a little bit of a side detour in his message. He said, you know, I work at a college, and I see all these students, and 90% of them that are believers that come to talk to me have no clue what the Lord would have them to do in their life, and neither do their parents. And I want to say this one thing. If you're part of that 10%, you do what the Lord would have you to do. After the meeting, we went out to eat as a family. We sat down, gave thanks for our food, and I asked the family, I said, so, Lord say anything to us out of that message? My 13-year-old, 14-year-old, and 15-year-old simultaneously said, yeah, he wants us in Sioux Falls. No questions asked. A year later, kind of same situation, had been through some discouraging times, same thing. Believer was given, once again, Brother Kieran, given a message. Kind of took a little bit of a sidetrack, made a comment. He said it. Natalie and I looked at each other, and it's just like, okay, Lord, here's what you would have us to do. The body at work, believers had no clue what was happening. Prior to the outreach, believers praying throughout the world for what was for that outreach. Believers coming from, you take, draw a line down the Rocky Mountains, and I believe there's only 5 states east of the Rockies where there weren't believers from those states that came up to help with the outreach. And the way God orchestrated it, some things that maybe we didn't think were that fruitful, the Lord just worked in ways we can't explain. Terrace Park at the time appeared to be someplace where, boy, was it really worthwhile having spent our time there. Bob Spain, soul that was saved from Terrace Park. Karen Urban, somebody that's this close to salvation. Terrace Park, 4 young kids saved from that area in Terrace Park. A young believer who wasn't walking with the Lord. Ask us to pray for him that he be returned to the Lord. The next day, the Lord had him at a point where he knew he was going to die and he needed to return to the Lord. He had the knew he was going to die part wrong. I ran into him 2 weeks ago and got to visit with him, and he's just on fire, just on fire. The Lord worked through the prayers of the saints. Since the outreach, believers coming from various places to help in various ways with the follow-up and working with people. And the body of Christ has been at work, and we're getting to enjoy the fruit of that work. So some things the Lord has really reiterated to us. One other thing that's been a blessing to us and is a special place in our heart that I've been asked to mention something about. I've got a son who's on the Good News on the Move team this year. And would really encourage everyone to be praying for that group as they go across the nation this year. I know last year the different places they visited, it was a huge encouragement, tremendous encouragement to us. And they're traveling from Pennsylvania, I believe, this week they're in Hartville, Ohio. They're going to go to Danville, Illinois from there. And then they're making, I can't remember if it's 2 or 3 stops in Illinois, in Iowa after that, then going out to the Omaha, Nebraska area, and then out to Colorado and points west from there. And then through the winter, they're going to swing through the west coast, down through the south, and finish up on the east coast. There's going to be 2 big outreaches that would really appreciate if you'd be praying for those. One right now is tentatively planned for, I believe it's Tucson, Arizona. If I'm incorrect, if somebody could correct me on that. And then the last final outreach hasn't been solidified yet. So really be praying that the Lord would give clear, solid direction as to where he would have them to be. And be praying, too, that for that outreach, that the Lord would stir the hearts of saints to do the work, and not just the work of the outreach, but that the Lord would stir the hearts of people to help there afterwards. Just that if it's going to be a place where there's a small assembly, that one, the hearts would be stirred, 2, that the believers would send people to spend months there to help with the work. You know, we've got a list of, 70-plus names. We ain't got the time. We just can't get out there and spend time with them. You know, one by one, the Lord's bringing other believers in town to meet them. But, you know, wherever the work's going to be done the next time, really pray that the Lord would stir the hearts of people to help on the flip side of it. So all the work of sharing the gospel doesn't come to an end because there isn't somebody there to pick up on the back side of it. Once again, want to thank you all for your prayers, ask you to continue to pray for us. And most of all, just want to give thanks to the Lord for what he's done, bringing glory to his son. I mean, there's so much that has happened there that's unbelievable. If I had a chance to tell you the stories, I'd be here for quite a long time. Yep. But once again, thanks for the prayers and thanks for the encouragement here of having this conference.
You're welcome. Now, don't go away yet. Specifically, is there something we could pray for you about that would really be helpful for where you're at right now? I'm kind of putting you on the spot. There's probably a million things you could pray for.
Us personally.
Well, whatever you'd want us to pray about.
Okay. Good solid.
You're amongst friends. We love you.
that the Lord would bring another couple there or raise somebody else up to help. I don't want to waste. I just don't want to see the effort of everybody coming to Sioux Falls go to waste by there not being the believers to do the follow-up work.
Yeah.
And if the Lord could send another couple. You know, we've got 70-some names. 3/4 of them are ladies. Maybe if the Lord would lay it on the hearts of some young women that really know the Word of God and can do some one-on-one studies with ladies. Seems like everybody we're working with, this group study thing doesn't work. They've got such needs that you just can't bring them out in a group. So that would probably be the biggest request.
Good.
More laborers.
Stay right here. I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, we just lift our dear brother and sister up, and we thank you for them. We thank you for their dedication and faithfulness to you, even when times were difficult and they were challenged in their faith whether to stay or go. And to hear that they've stayed, and now, Father, literally the windows of heaven have been opened and a blessing has been poured out so great that they can't contain it. And so we ask for you, Father, by the person of your Holy Spirit, to exercise souls to join them and to help in this good work. We know that there are many souls that are yet exercised and needing of the Lord, and many opportunities yet that haven't been followed up. And so we just pray that this great need would be met. And so we just commend them and this good work unto you in Christ's name. Amen.